Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A jury selection is underway in the trial of the man known as the Underwear Bomber, a 24-year-old Nigerian named Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalib. He's accused of attempting to blow up a plane which was flying into Detroit on Christmas Day of 2009. To discuss the case, I'm joined by defense attorney Bill Swore, who has represented terrorism suspects in a number of high-profile cases, including a defendant involved in the Jose Padilla case. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
So the latest chapter in this case, which is now unfolding in Detroit, is that U.S. District Judge Nancy Edmonds ruled yesterday that Abdul Muttalib's statements, which he gave to authorities before being read his Miranda rights, are indeed admissible. She says the public safety trumps his Miranda rights. Is that a reasonable ruling in your opinion?
Well, I disagree with the ruling. Obviously, she's the judge and she gets to make that decision. But I think that we have rules about how our courts are operated and that evidence should only come in that fits within the rules. And when we continue to try and carve out exceptions, we make the rules less important and we make all of us less American.
And when you see a situation like this where, I mean, there is a concern, it's a live situation that this man, from their understanding, attempted to potentially blow up a plane full of people, is that an exception worthy of bypassing the Miranda rights?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody quarrels with the FBI questioning the man. And if they're truly concerned about an imminent public safety threat, the question is, why do you need to use it in court? Because getting the information for public safety is one reason to do it, and not getting it into court. I mean, there certainly is enough evidence from other people, or there are enough sources of potential evidence that this confession or statement certainly is kind of cumulative.
Abdul Muttalib has already acted out in court this week, shouting "Osama's alive" and hollering "Jihad" in front of prospective jurors. Is this kind of behavior sealing his fate?
Well, it certainly makes it harder to select an impartial jury, and it certainly makes it harder for the whole process to move forward. Now, the judge has a number of options available to her if he continues to be disruptive. But if this was the beginning and the end of his acting out, it's of little consequence.
In September, he fired his government-appointed lawyers and suggested he wanted to plead guilty to some charges. He has said nothing about the plea since, but what are we to make of this type of behavior? Is he really fit for a trial?
I can't say. You know, the fitness for trial, competency to stand trial is a very specific issue, and it requires, professional evaluation. I think it certainly makes it harder to have what we perceive of as a fair trial, and it certainly suggests that he has an agenda beyond the question of having a trial that relates to the facts.
I'm talking to defense attorney Bill Swore, who himself has represented terrorism suspects in a number of high-profile cases. I wonder, do you think jurors really are able to avoid bias against these individuals, especially when the public reaction to them is usually uniformly damning?
Well, you know, we all do our best. And jurors in the American system are amazing in their adherence to their oath. And they've taken an oath to decide the case based on the evidence. And absent any suggestion that the jurors are not paying attention to the evidence, I think that we should be grateful for the system we have and trust them to do what's right.
Some people feel that foreigners like Abdul Muttalib, who allegedly traveled to the U.S. for the sole purpose of killing hundreds of people, shouldn't be granted the rights and privileges of American citizens. Should foreign terrorists be handled in any kind of a different way?
Look, Our Constitution says that all persons, it doesn't say all citizens or anything else. And the thing that we have as Americans is we have a system that doesn't recognize any differences. You know, the poorest person and the richest person are tried in the same fashion. Citizens and foreigners are tried in the same fashion. We have one standard of justice, and that standard applies to all, and it works.
Abdulmutallab is innocent until proven guilty, but what's the likelihood the government would allow him to leave this country freely if he does somehow end up with a not guilty verdict?
I couldn't guess to that. I suspect that if the media reports are true, that if for some reason he's acquitted and if the jury finds the evidence is insufficient, that he will be allowed to leave. There's been no suggestion now that he's an enemy combatant. And for that reason, the enemy combatant rules, which would allow indefinite detention, don't apply to him.
How aggressively does the U.S. government pursue prosecutions of terrorist suspects? Since you yourself have been involved in cases like this, do you think that because of political pressure, their approach is sometimes overly broad and aggressive?
Well, I think so. I think that because these cases develop a political tinge or a political overview, that the desire to show them in a much larger context tends to drive the government, and it also puts a lot of pressure on the government attorneys. But at their heart, these are criminal cases, and they are treated like any criminal case. There are elements to the offense, and the government has to prove those elements beyond a reasonable doubt, or the defendant is not guilty. That's really scary for a government prosecutor because nobody wants to be the guy that let the underwear bomber go free or didn't prove the case and things of that nature. So the government really gets aggressive about it.
Do you think American juries are more likely to be objective about the prosecution of terrorism suspects now than they were in the years after 9/11?
You mean, do I think they're less likely to be objective? Possibly.
Essentially,
there certainly is a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess I'm saying that, do you think that there, now the time has passed, I mean, do you think there was an initial reaction after 9/11 where juries were far less objective than they are nowadays?
No, I wouldn't think so. If jurors are subject to the outside pressures now, they're subject to the same pressures they were then and now. Remember, unless you were in New York City, unless you were in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C., these things were still on the other end of the television, even 10 years ago. And so what we found in the Detroit case originally was that many jurors just understood that this was something different.
Considering all the news coverage and what we know, at least from the news stories about this suspect, any likelihood that you think he's going to end up with a not guilty verdict?
I wouldn't begin to guess one way or the other.
Defense Attorney Bill Swore, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.